cheap, was it better?
Yeah. Well, I read the email, and I wanted to make sure I got that right, but because after church on a couple Sundays back, they're visiting from China, and they're going back, and they're doing other things too. So we had pulled them over, and after church, we laid hands on them, and Charlie led the charge, and I was praying about cancer, had cancer in his prostate, I believe, is where it was. And we laid hands and prayed. Charlie prayed the prayer of faith. We agreed with him, and I just got word. They said they couldn't detect any levels of cancer in his prostate when they examined it. Amen? That's what I read in the email, and they're going to keep him around and keep doing tests on it and keep testing. And the reason I wanted to share that, since Don brought that up, is a lot of times we don't share the good news of some of these testimonies. But I was very encouraged by that. He had cancer, and they couldn't detect any. Now, we're believing they're not going to detect any. Amen? God is a healer, and we're going to be getting into that more in our lessons. I know, Sandy, I'm not going to have you testify now, Sandy, but Sandy had a miraculous healing herself here recently. And so we are believing God for more and more of it. Don, I put myself in agreement with your prayers for Denny and rebuking whatever blindness or whatever's in his eye. I put myself in agreement and say, no, in Jesus' name. Can't. Denny, you got too much to do. Amen. You don't have time for it. You ever said, I've got time for that? You know, you don't have time for it in Jesus' name. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 3. Someone pointed out last week, I never read my text. Is that? Someone said, hey, Brad, you know you never read that scripture? I said, oh, no, that's not unusual. We're talking about salvation in three dimensions, or salvation in... last week, we just kind of introduced it, and I'm really, one of the things, when you like to preach, you really like to go at it, you want to do a good job, but today, what I really want to do is I want to get this information out to you, so I'm going to do the best job I can to get information out. I'm going to try to maintain a calm demeanor. I know some of you like me to preach, but I want to get this information out because it's powerful what Jesus did for us. You know, Denny was talking about getting saved and giving your life to Jesus. And, you know, what did Jesus do on the cross for us? What happened when he died on the cross? You know, a lot of people, you talk to them, they really don't know. You go into a lot of churches and people don't know. I talked to a man down at the park the other day and, you know, asked him if he was saved. And he kept telling me about, well, he thought he was a pretty good guy and he did this and he did that. And I knew he did not know what salvation was. He was kind of keeping score and thought he did enough good things and God was going to tab all his good things up and weigh him against these bad things and that he would somehow make his way to heaven. I tried to persuade him that that wasn't the right thinking toward God. That's not how it works. And a lot of religions and a lot of churches kind of preach that. And it's our natural disposition to approach God that way. Like, God, I'm doing pretty good. Accept me. I'm a pretty good guy. Overall, I'm a pretty good guy. But God, we're not saved by works of righteousness that we have done. We work from a place of salvation. And I want to break it down very simply what salvation is. We're saved in three dimensions. And this is really the only way that you'll ever live a life pleasing to God, even in your works, is if you get some fundamental things down in your walk with God. God has saved us by what Christ did. You say, well, if God saved me, then why am I still tempted? Why am I still making mistakes? Why I want to talk about that. I want you to understand why you still struggle with things and how to have dominion over those areas. In John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews, and he came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Just to make a note of it, it's very interesting about signs and miracles and the importance of them. In chapter 1, verse 50, you got to write this down if you're taking notes. Chapter 2, verse 11 and chapter 2, verse 23, it says that people believed when they saw the signs that were done. I'll just read up verse 23 so you can just read that one now. It says, now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. And you know, Charlie, it wasn't any different with Paul and the apostles. It says in the book of Romans chapter 15 that Paul performed the signs of an apostle all around Illyricum and all these places. He was doing miracles and signs. In Hebrews chapter 2, it says God confirmed the word with signs and wonders when they preached Jesus. God is willing to confirm the word with miracles if we believe the word of God. So signs are important. And Jesus was doing signs and miracles. And signs and miracles haven't stopped. You won't find one place in the Bible that God ever stopped it. Somebody say amen. They haven't stopped. God's still doing signs and miracles, and God still does miracles in our life. Sandy just got a healing this week. We had a good testimony from the gentleman that got a healing this week. God is still performing signs and wonders when people believe. And God can do powerful signs and wonders and bring people into the kingdom. And I'm very concerned about that. It's something that I want to see more and more. We had, forgive me for a second, my voice is a little scratchy. Someone pray for my throat. Would you pray for me? My throat's scratchy. We had people come into this church before, and we had given them words and gave them a direct word from the scripture, and that word spoke to them, and they broke down and cried, and they became members of the church, and God blessed them because they heard a word from God. God spoke directly to. We've had that happen here in abundance. Has anybody here had a word from God where God spoke to you directly, something supernatural? Raise your hand and wave it around if that's happened to you here. There's at least 20 where God's given a specific direct word. Where these signs and wonders that happen and these words, they testify that the Spirit is real. And therefore a purpose oftentimes because God wants to manifest himself to us. So Jesus was doing signs and wonders. And so he said that no one could do these signs unless God was with him. And then Jesus replied or answered him. Now, Charlie, he didn't ask a question, but it says Jesus answered him. Truly, truly, I say unto you, unless a man is born again, you could say born from above, it doesn't matter, born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say to you, you must be born again. You must be born again. And you've heard of that expression about being a born again Christian, okay? The problem with us before we met the Lord and the problem with the world is the Bible says that we were by nature hostile and enemies of God. Understand that. When Jesus talked to the Pharisees, he said, you are of your father, the devil, and you will do the works of your father, the devil. In the scriptures, it talks about whether you are a son of light or whether you are a son of darkness. It says when you come to Christ, you become light. When you're apart from Christ, you are in darkness. And it doesn't matter how many good things a person does. Good things that you do not change your nature. It doesn't change who you are. Jesus said you could do 1,000 good things, but you still must be born again. And Jesus made this incredible statement. He said, you can't even see the Spirit. You can't even know the Spirit unless you're born. You don't have eyes to see it. And I know sometimes people come in, and if they don't know the Lord, we'll be having words or we'll be doing something, or someone may just go crazy and worship to God. They get excited about God, and people think, that guy's nuts. Someone will fall on the floor on their face and cry before God. Someone else might run around the church. Someone lays hands on a sick person. And you're because the things of the Spirit, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, the things of the Spirit are foolishness to a natural man or a natural woman. A natural man or a natural woman, and it's real simple. It's someone that's not born again. And so your relatives, your cousins, your nieces, your nephews, your unclers and antlers, they, if they're not born again, they don't understand what you're into. They'll say all kinds of things trying to figure you out why you believe. But when you are born again by God, your spirit is filled with the life of God. You have Jesus Christ lives in you through the power of the Holy Spirit, and you can now see into another dimension. Someone say amen. Amen. Jesus says the wind blows where it will, and you can feel the effects of it. That's kind of like a man born of the Spirit. I know if I'm sitting in a restaurant and the Spirit just says, go talk to this person. If I shut up, and I've done it many times, and walked over and I started talking to somebody and started preaching the gospel to them, you might think, well, that's crazy, but you wouldn't think it, you know, 5 minutes later when I'm praying for them. Amen? Or if they start crying, or if I'm praying for their mom or their dad or something, it seems crazy, but you don't understand the way of the Spirit. The Spirit can move on you when you're connected to the Spirit. The Spirit wants to move on you. He wants to have a dominion in your life. He wants to affect your life. There is an invisible world that you cannot see, and it's foolishness to a natural person or to a person that's not connected to that world. Now, you can also be connected to that world, but if you don't grow, that you'll be like a baby in the Spirit. You won't really understand. You can actually grow in the Spirit. You can fine-tune yourself in the Spirit, where when God just whispers, you hear His voice and you know what to do. You can. You can hear God very specifically. That's how people, Charlie, we had prayer here last night. I encourage you on Saturdays at 5 o'clock to come. Charlie had some words of knowledge. I guess they were. I assume that they were. And we prayed for somebody, and the Lord will talk. When you get quiet sometimes, or even when it's loud sometimes, God will talk, He'll give you a word, and you can pray for somebody because the Holy Spirit is moving on you. That also works in your own life when you need to make decisions or things are going on. Or even my best way, Mark, when you get in the Word, the Spirit of God will speak to you right in that Word. Sometimes I don't know what to do, or I'm trying to make a decision, and just, Sandy, being in the Word and reading the Bible is not a boring book to me. It's alive, and I start reading it, and the Spirit will give you nutrients, and He'll give you guidance, and He'll speak to you. And a lot of times we can't decide, well, is this me or is this the Lord? A lot of times it just takes a deep knowledge of the Scriptures, studying the Bible, where God will speak into our spirit. Amen? The invisible God speaks into our spirit. In Hebrews 11:27, it said that Moses endured affliction and suffering because he saw God who is invisible. Well, how do you see somebody that's invisible? Through the Spirit. Flip over, and I don't know how much time to take on this, but flip over to 2 Kings. I'm going to take as much time as I need, okay? Now, I may get done at noon, but I don't know. I'm just saying, I'm not going to rush this because I want to slow down. I want you to know this. What is your salvation? Well, one thing that happens, the initial thing that happens, is when you are saved, you belong to Jesus, you get born again. You become a new person. God isn't looking and saying, have you done enough things yet? Okay, I'll accept you. I like it this way. Someone once said, it's like telling someone this dirty, once you clean up, you can jump in the bathtub. No, God says jump in the bathtub. Amen. The water, the washing of the water by the Word, is that's what's going to clean you up. Just jump in. It's God's grace that saves you. So when you're born again, I better get over that. When you're born again, right? I should probably turn there myself, right? 2 Kings chapter 6. I should have marked it. I actually had my other Bible ready, then I picked up this one. It's important for you to know this because your salvation, when the Word of God says that you're saved by grace through faith and that not of yourself, it happens all at once. It's not a partial salvation, okay? You are, according to Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, you are translated out of one kingdom. You're in the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of tomfoolery, the kingdom of sin, the kingdom of confusion, and you are translated out of one kingdom and you are dropped into another kingdom through Jesus Christ. That's grace. Did you do anything to deserve that? You didn't do a thing. You were in the kingdom of darkness. You were translated into the kingdom of light. You were in Satan's dominion, what the word says. You were under the dominion of Satan. God put you under the dominion of Jesus. That's why when you say, you better get this. That's why when you say, Jesus is Lord, you get saved. Because what you're saying is, Satan was my Lord, and I kind of did what he wanted. But now I've been translated, now Jesus is my Lord. That's why when you declare that, it's more than just making a blanket statement. You're saying, I believe Jesus died for me. I believe he rose from the dead. I believe he took my sins. I believe he took my sinful nature. I believe that I died with him. I believe that I rose with him. And I'm changing kingdoms now. I'm going into God's kingdom. Amen? That's why it's heartbreaking for a pastor, or when you get in the Word and you see people, and you love all of them. If you're doing right, you love everybody. But when we're still living in a consciousness of the old kingdom we came out of, right? We're still living in that consciousness. I have a friend that's suffering right now, and I text him, I talk to him, I've been, you know, trying to encourage him, and he has this habit of mind to continually go back to a defeatist mentality or an old consciousness, a consciousness of condemnation and guilt and defeatism. And I just constantly, Jeff, am saying, no. Jesus paid the price. You're more than a conqueror. You don't need to live like this. This is the good news. But and he starts to go with it, and I get away from him, and then the next day I'll get a text that says pretty much the same thing. And I'm saying, God help him. And I'm going to talk about mind renewal later, or David said, the Lord restores my soul. Amen? God wants to restore your soul. He wants to restore your mind. He wants to change your thinking. So when people still live in that old kingdom, you can be saved and born again and be virtually almost uninfluenced by what God did for you. If we don't walk in our salvation or walk in the Spirit, it may not do you any good. And it probably won't do you any good. We have to become aware. God's desire and plan is for us to grow up into this thing and to become mature. If you would get one scripture in your belly saying, I am accepted in the Beloved. Get that in your heart. Get that in our spirit, in your heart. You are accepted. And you are operating now from a position of God's acceptance and approval. Because you're in Christ. God approves of Jesus. You are in the Beloved. Who's the Beloved? Jesus. You're in him. I can prove it. I don't have time. But I mean, there's tons of scriptures. Go prove it yourself. There's tons. You're in him, okay? Paul faced this frustrating problem, and I face it too. As you start preaching grace like this, you start preaching your position, and people say, well, does that mean I can just do whatever I want to do? Dodo bird. No, I'm sorry. No. Say, you're a child of light. Why would you? You're clean. You're a child of light. You're not in that kingdom. Why would you want to live under the dominion of Satan when you've been transferred into this glorious kingdom? You just haven't seen what Jesus done for you yet. Or you haven't experienced salvation. Because when I gave my life to Christ, I didn't want to go back to the dunghill that I came out of. How about you? I don't want to go back there. I got beat up by the devil. He marred my reputation. He marred my image. I did horrible things now that I'm ashamed of. I don't want to go back there, so I want to learn how this thing works so I can walk in my salvation. I want to grow up in this thing. If I got things that are bothering me, I want to shake them off. How about you? Someone say, shake them off.
Shake off.
Don't you want to shake off stuff? I was praying this morning, this week. Guys, I don't know why. Being a senior pastor is a weird thing, or just being a pastor is a weird thing. Sometimes I think the enemy's strategy for me is to get my focus on everything but what God's telling me, right? God will say, this is what's going on, this is what I want you to do, this, and then you hear this here and you hear that there, and Satan's strategy in all of our lives is to get you focused on everything but what God's telling you. See, Satan will use your five physical senses. He'll show you stuff. People will talk to you. You'll see this, you'll think that. All these things will be bubbling up around you, and he's constantly chattering or trying to chatter to get you off the path from what God wants you to do, right? But God is speaking into your spirit. God is speaking into your heart. And my job, well, I have to continually remind myself, and I assume that most of you are something like me, is to refocus myself. When I find that I'm not focusing in on what God is saying, or I'm not focusing in on the promises of God, or what God wants to do for me and with me, I start getting off, then I start getting into all types of problems in my life. So what I have to do, Jeff, is I have to refocus. I've got to get back into my prayer closet, and I have to say, now, Lord, what are you saying about this? He said, Brad, this is what I'm saying. Grace Point is a house of love. It's the most loving church in Licking County. Ohio, is that what he said? Ohio, America? Oh my goodness, it's even getting better, right? What else are you saying? Brad, I will never fail you. I will never forsake you. Brad, get your eyes off people. Put them back on me. Amen? Amen. You can clap, that's good. Get your eyes off people. Get them back on my promises. Get them back on the Spirit. Get them back on the Word of God. This Word of God is truth, capital T. This is the truth. And if you want to be a mature Christian and walk in the truth, we have to learn to live and walk by God's Word. That was good right there. Your flesh, your feelings, your emotions will clamor in a thousand directions and telling you it's not true. What we need to do at those times is get away with the Lord and let God speak back into us. Let him take that word back inside of us. 2 Kings chapter 6, I'll go with verse 8. I'm trying to slow down and just teach. I want you to get this. Someone say, I am born again. God lives inside of me. God talks to me. I've got love inside of me. I've got joy inside of me. I've got peace inside of me. I am going to live from that kingdom. The Word of God says the kingdom of God is righteousness, joy, and peace. What kingdom are you in? So then you got righteousness, joy, and peace. I didn't make it up. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Say, I got righteousness. I've got joy. And I've got peace. Woo! You'll get there. I do too. I do. I got it. I got righteousness, joy, and peace because Jesus gave it to me. He said, don't let the devil take it, Brad. It's your job not to let the devil take it by focusing on what he's doing and saying and refocusing. You may have to go through the valley of the shadow of death, but you don't have to fear evil because you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they're comforting me. Even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I refuse to fear evil. Amen?
Amen?
Because you are with me. You're going to comfort me. You're going to help me. God, all my hope, all my faith, all my belief is in I am trusting you. You will never disappoint me. Did I say 2 Kings 6?
Yes.
Verse 8. Then the king of Aram was fighting against Israel. You are the Israel of God. Paul said you were. And he took counsel with his servants, saying, at such and such a place we will camp. But the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, saying, take care not to pass through this place, for the Arameans are marching down there. And the king of Israel sent word to the place of which the man of God spoke. He warned him and was on his guard there more than once. The mind of the king of Aram was troubled by this, so he called his servants and said to them, will you not tell me who among us sides with the king of Israel? Stay with me. Then one of his servants said, no one, my lord, O king. Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. Elisha tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. How did he get those words? The Spirit. You think the Spirit's able to give you words? Think he's able to give you words of knowledge? Think he's able to give you words of wisdom? Think he's able to talk to you? If he can tell Elijah what the king is saying, He can talk to you about your life. He said, go and see where he is, so I may send for him and take him. And it was told him, he is in Dothan. So he sent horses and chariots and a great many of his army there. They came by night and surrounded the city. When a servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, a force surrounding the city, both with horses and chariots, and his servant said to him, alas, my master, what will we do? So what's going on? So Elisha's servant goes out, and he is surrounded by horses and chariots and all this enemy because the king found out that it was Elisha that was telling his words, that he was going to take Elisha. Okay. And he said, do not be afraid, for there are more with us than are with them. Then Elisha prayed, Lord, open his eyes and let him see. Sounds like Ephesians 1:18. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw that the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire surrounding Elisha. When they came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike this people blind. So I won't read the rest of the story. So here's what happened. Elisha said, God, open my servant's eyes. You see, Elisha wasn't afraid. And why wasn't Elisha afraid? Listen to me. Why wasn't Elisha afraid? Because he could see in the Spirit. The Spirit of God was with him, but he could see in the Spirit. He already knew that he was surrounded by the armies of God. Maybe he saw it, maybe he didn't, but he knew he was surrounded. So he said, God, open the eyes of my servant so he can see what I know. And what happened? His eyes were opened and he saw God's armies, God's chariots, God's horsemen, and he knew, oh, we're safe. Elisha already knew he was safe. King David, when he went out to battle because he had a covenant with God, he already knew that he was safe. He wasn't living in fear. Because he was living and sensing and speaking and operating with the knowledge of the Spirit. Amen? So God opened up his eyes. What happened eventually was the army were blinded, the other army. God blinded them, and they led them by the hand, and they marched them right into the walls of the city. And when they could see again, boom, there they were. They were inside the walls of the city. They had captured them all. Now, isn't that amazing? Think God would do something like that for you? Well, absolutely, he would do something like it. May not be exactly like this story, but absolutely, God wants you to see what he is saying. He wants you to hear what he's speaking. Jesus said, listen to this. This is important. Jesus said that he only said what he heard the Father saying. So I assume God was speaking to him. He said, I only do what I see the Father doing. So I assume that God was showing Jesus stuff to do. Those were the miracles that he was operating in. He was seeing God do something and he did it. He was hearing God speak something and he did it because he was in contact with the Spirit. Folks, when you're born again, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, write it down if you're taking notes, that you become a new creation. You're just a baby. That's true. You're a baby Christian, but you are born again. You become a new creation. And here's what Paul says. Because I know there's growth in this thing, and we'll talk about it. We got a couple weeks to talk about it. But he said, you're a new creation, and all the old stuff is gone. All of it. It's gone. If you feel guilt over something you did in the past, you're wasting your guilt because it's gone. The word says that God has cast your sea into his forgetfulness. If you did something yesterday and you repented, you confessed that thing, it's in God's mind, it was dealt with on the cross. But you let it go and you confess that thing is gone. It should be gone in your mind and in your heart. God's already dealt with that, what he did at the cross when he died for that. And if we believe what God's saying, we believe what the word is saying, it will revolutionize our life. My friend would not be living in the mess he's living in if he would simply believe the gospel of God. He would have a whole different idea about himself. He would have a whole different idea about what God's done for him. He would have a whole different idea about his purpose. And when he's rooted and grounded in the reality that old things are passed away and all things are passed away. And look, behold, everything has become new. It's like your history with all your sins. And we talk, you know, about abortion. We know abortion's wrong. You know, we know it's wrong. It's not right to abort a baby. We know that, right? But if you've had an abortion, you've experienced that, and you become a new creation, what you did in the past, it's gone. It's gone. God's not remembering it. Yeah, it's bad. I've done a lot of bad things. Thank God God's not reminding me of them all the time. Amen? Charlie, I know you've done a few things you're probably not proud of. But thank God the Bible says those things are gone. They're not in your life. They are out of the way and everything's new. And now we're leaning in and we're walking in this new reality. Why would you want to live? This is how Paul's approach. He says, why would you want to live in the things that are gone? Why wouldn't you want to live in the good things? And he's laying out to them all these good things that God has done. And if you're seeing in the Spirit and you're living in the Spirit and you're walking in the Spirit and you're tasting of this stuff, you're not going to want to go back. So you're a new creation. Old things are gone. He even says later in verse 21, he says that God took all your sin and he put that on Jesus. Think in your mind. I say this scripture all the time. Don't let me just say this scripture. Think about it. All your sins on Jesus. We get that part, right? All your sins on Jesus. Now get this part. All of Jesus' goodness, his righteousness, on you. That's the part you don't get. Amen? That's the part we don't get. We get, okay, Jesus, you took my sins. I'm still a sinner, but you took my sins. Of course, the Bible doesn't say that. No, it says all the goodness of God, all the righteousness of God, boom, it's a gift. It's yours. Run with it, honey. That's praise the Lord. All his righteousness on you. That's why Paul's language in Ephesians 4:24, he says, put on the new man. He said this new man has been created or recreated in righteousness and true holiness. This person that you are now, look, I think it's Ephesians 4:23. Look it up. That whole section is 4:23-24. Put on the new man. He says that new man has been recreated in righteousness and true holiness. So he's saying, when Paul's looking at good, he says, put on the new man. The same thing he says in Romans, he says, clothe yourself with Christ, put Jesus on. Don't make any provision for your flesh. Don't make any allowance for your flesh. That flesh is what's going to get you in trouble. He says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for your flesh. Why would you want to? But you know what, Gary, when I get flesh-sighted, when I start looking at the flesh and how things are in the flesh and how I want things a certain way, I become, what's that little whack-a-mole? I talked about that whack-a-mole. Anybody see that game, whack-a-mole? I become like that whack-a-mole. Every time I put my head up and I start looking around in the flesh, the devil's like the master whack-a-moler. He just whacks me. And if I'm smart, I go back down underground. I get myself hidden back in Jesus. I get my mind back on the Lord. Most of the time, I'm not always smart. I'll get that head back up again, looking around. It's kind of like those gophers my brothers used to shoot in the backyard. They get up and look around and bang! Once they put their head up, they're in trouble. Keep your head down. Get your helmet on. Stay hidden in Christ. Don't make any provision for the flesh. Keep looking at what God says. I had a weird experience. Have you ever felt, can I be honest? Can I be vulnerable? I want to be vulnerable. That's a big buzzword now. You know, this week I was in a situation socially and I just started feeling awkward. Ever happened to you? Anyway, I know I'm the only one. Started feeling awkward and I started feeling unappreciated. And I started feeling like the third man out or the fourth man out. You know, there's a guy and a girl and then there's me. You ever been that way? You got him and her and then there's you. Or you go to a dinner and there's two couples and then there's you. Have you ever been that way? You know, and it's okay if they just include you and talk to you, but all of a sudden they get in this conversation and you're just kind of falling off your chair. Or you just get in a weird situation. I was feeling rejected. I started feeling like, I don't know if I'm going to go do this today. I don't feel accepted. I don't feel appreciated. And then these words from Kenneth Hagin came to my mind. He said, the minute you start feeling that you're unappreciated, nobody cares about you, he says, you can be sure that the devil's working on you. And I said, yeah, I know that, Lord, but I feel unappreciated. I feel like, you know, I'm not being loved and I'm just tired of it. And then that saying came back to my mind again. It came back again. And the Lord said, Brad, and I did what the Lord said. He said, Brad, he said, walk against it. Walk against it. Walk in the cross. That old whining, alienated, isolated, I don't fit in guy, he's dead. Why don't you just go serve? Why don't you just go love somebody? Why don't you forget about yourself for 2 seconds and how you're underappreciated? And he said, and if you feel rejected and you feel isolated, he said, push against it. Just push against it. That's what I did. I walked up, okay, Lord, I'll do what you said. And I pushed against it and I just embraced the moment and I said, I don't care how I feel. I'm going to love somebody. I'm going to do what I can. And I pushed. And do you know, when it was all over, it was like all these people that I thought didn't like me and they were rejecting me, you know, they were talking to me and they were including me. And one of them asked me for a ride and just all, everything changed in a moment. And I realized I was living in an illusion. The devil was working on me. He wanted me to be offended. He wanted me to walk in my flesh. He wanted me to feel unappreciated and unloved. And sometimes you may be unappreciated and unloved. But listen, God loves you. You're a world beater. You're a world changer. You're more than a conqueror. You always triumph in Christ Jesus. Won't you walk? Is that the truth or is that the truth? Is that the truth? Does the Bible say that we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony? Does the Word of God say that we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus? Does the Word of God say that faith is the victory that overcomes the world? Does it say you'll have persecution sometimes? Yeah, it does. It does say that. But we are more than conquerors in Christ. And when you walk in that reality, things start changing. Things start happening. In other words, what am I saying? What am I saying? I'm saying, don't walk after the flesh. Don't walk after the fallen nature of Adam with his rejection, isolation, inferiority, insecurity. Don't walk after it. Find out what God is saying about you because he loves you. He thinks you're marvelous. He thinks you're awesome. And do your very best. It's a battle, folks. Mark, I'm going to tell you the dream. Is that just a little bit here? Is that okay? I think Felicia had the dream, and I think it's an awesome dream. Mark had a dream where he was all in God's armor. He's all like, look, with a big sword. Had a big sword in God's armor. And is it shiny? It's like good, shiny, strong. But Mark is down on one knee with all this armor. And he asked me about it. I said, I believe that's because that's the position of prayer. You're all dressed up and you're on one knee and you're ready to pray. And I say that, folks, because we get God's armor on, his righteousness, his love, his holiness, all these things on. We're in a position of prayer, and we're in a position of battle. We walk against the lies of the devil. We walk against what Satan is saying. You know, we find out what God's saying, Charlie, and we transform our mind and our position to that. Marty, you're the righteousness of God. You're no longer in condemnation. You're no longer subject to God's wrath. The penalty for your sins has been paid for. If you want to live with the consciousness of your sins, you can, but you don't have to. You don't have to walk in religious guilt. What happens when I've said this many times, but what happens when we embrace this reality, our heart is set free. That is called putting on the new man. It's 12 o'clock, and I'll get to Ephesians 6 next week. Flip over to Ephesians 1. And I'm ending. I'm landing. Someone say, I'm born again.
I'm born again.
I have a new nature.
I'm
not the old person I used to be. The enemy will tell you that you are. And he'll want you to live like it. He wants you in condemnation. He wants you in sin. He wants you in sickness. He wants you alienated from God. He does his best to have you live out of that old reality. Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, past tense, blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. He chose you, Dylan. You were chosen by God. Before the foundation of the world, you were chosen by God to be holy and blameless in his sight. And that's how God looks at you, holy and blameless. The enemy wants you to focus on everything but that, because what you focus on is how you live. Flip over to Galatians chapter 6. We're going to end on this one. This is what I've been saying. Say, Brother Brad, you said these things before. Yeah, but until we start living in it, I'm going to keep saying it. I'll preach apologetics. If we ever get this down, I'll preach apologetics or something, you know, if we ever get this down. We're going somewhere. I want to talk about the Spirit, first of all, what God has done. We're going to talk about how we walk in that, renewing our mind, changing our thinking. Then we're going to talk about a dominion of God and what God's done. We're going to talk about healing and these things, salvation in three dimensions. But I want to get this anchored in first. We might launch into mind renewal, what you need to do with your mind, your thinking. There's a lot of verses on that. We wanted to start here. You have to start where you're at. Where you're at is you're a new creation. Where you're at, if you don't believe that, you're going to keep trying to be what you already are. I mentioned a few weeks back about people struggling to get in a room they're already in. Like when you're in Christ, anybody have a piece of paper or anything I can borrow? When you're in Christ, look, you're in Christ, you're in Christ. And God's going to treat you like you're in Christ, okay? Now, wouldn't that be silly for this piece of paper to try to get in this notebook when he's already there? That paper's already in there. You can't do anything to get your in. And what God is saying, now that you're in, live like it. You get that? It'd be silly for this paper to say, well, I want to get in Christ. You're in. And that's the anchor or the root of everything that we build on, Roger, is that you're in. That you've been made righteous. That you're holy. That every spiritual blessing that you need, read Galatians 5:22 and 23. It tells you all these spiritual blessings that you've already got them. You can already live in the light of them. So let's read Galatians 5:16 and we'll close. We are going to close, Charlie. Now, you guys can only listen so long. I know that. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desire or the lust of the flesh. The flesh will war or lust against the Spirit, and the Spirit will war and lust against the flesh. Here's the problem. These are in opposition to one another, so that you can't always do what you want to do. Is that right? Guys, you can't always do what you want to do. But you have power. Let me just read it. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, I won't get into that. That's a whole different idea. If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. God has already given you power to walk in the Spirit. He's already given you ability. The Word of God says, sin shall not have dominion over you. Satan shall not have dominion over you. And we're going to talk about sickness not having dominion over you either. We're going to get there. But we got a ways to go. You've been born again. Guys, that's the position, that's the reality we have to walk in. Let me ask you this question. Can I move on next week? Did we get it? To be born again, now you're in contact with God. John 4 says that God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So if you're going to worship God when we come in here, we need to enter in the Spirit. Because we're contacting God, who is the Spirit, and we're worshiping in spirit, and we're worshiping in the truth. When you're living your life and you want wisdom, you get it from the Word of God, you get it by the Spirit of God. You don't want to walk after your carnal imaginations. I know many times folks think they heard from God, and it's just their flesh or their desire. Something is spinning. But you can know. You can be led by God. You can grow in this thing. We can walk in this thing. We have the power and the ability to do it. Now, here's my question. I got a question. Is there anybody that would be honest with me in here and you would say, Brother Brad, I'm not born again? I don't know the Lord. Okay, not born again. The Spirit of God doesn't live in me. I don't know if I'm going to heaven when I die. I don't have that connection with God, and I want it. I want to be righteous with God. I want to be holy with God. I want to walk in the Spirit, but I need that power in my life. I want to be born again. Is there anybody out here today like that? You want to give your life to Jesus, and you want to be born by the Spirit? Let me see your hand. This is bravery time. Anybody? I see your hand. Anybody else? Don't be afraid. I'm going to pray with you. Amy, come up. We're going to sing, and here's what I want you to do, and we'll dismiss in a second. We've got to make time for this person that needs the Lord. Someone say amen, right? Amen. It's the most important thing we'll do all day. Anybody else? And I'm going to ask you to come forward. I'm going to pray with you. We'll pray on the side over here. Doesn't matter. But I'm going to ask you to come up when she's singing, and I'm going to pray. Is there anybody else that you're not born again, you don't know you're going to heaven, you've never given your life to God, you've never said Jesus? Okay, you're going to come up too. You've never said, Jesus, you're my Lord. I want out of Satan's kingdom, and I want to come on up, girls. Okay? Anybody else? And Amy's going to start singing. Okay, so I'm going to pray with these young ladies. If you've never been born again, or you don't know if you're born again, and you want to be sure that you're born again, you want to give your life to Jesus, Jesus, your Lord. Let me see your hand. Anybody else? Okay, we're going to sing, we're going to pray with these girls, and we're going to be released. Stand up, please.
All right, church, so before he even gave that call, I felt like...